So then he lived here, was it 4 years before his death?
Yeah. We lived, David was here. And then in 2019, he fell and broke his femur. And so he was at St. John's. And so they did the operation, and any anesthesia really messes with dementia patients. If they're at one stage, they're at the worst stage, because it really messes with their cognitive senses. Everything gets messed up. So he had to go to skilled nursing, because he had to learn how to navigate again with a broken something. And so we put him out at Montero, and he was out there. And he did that and got to walking, and we had senior helpers with him. And so he had somebody with him 24 hours a day, his own help. And he couldn't come home, I know, because it was going to be so complicated to have him here, just because of the stairs and him getting up in the middle of the night, which he was doing before he got in the accident. He would get up in the middle of the night. I'd find him down here, and he was rearranging things, or all of a sudden he'd open up the door, the alarm would go off. It was just too complicated. Plus he became incontinent completely. And so luckily we had senior helpers with him all the time. And that's when I moved him to Methodist Manor, and he had his own apartment in their assisted living, and he had his helpers with him. And then, you know, which he was doing, you know, okay. He knew me, and he would start to ask you a question, but it didn't make any sense. And just kind of a jumble of words. The words did not come together and make a proper sentence. And but he was kind of there, and then COVID hit, and then I couldn't see him. And that was just crazy. But and I saw him twice, just because he had to go to the hospital for dehydration, and then one time because he fell. And anyway, that was, you know, just something.
So when did he die?
I died on October 29th. And
2020.
And what happens with dementia patients, I went to go to a therapist, and I said, what's the end game? What happens?
Yeah.
And she said, there's lots of possibilities, but one, they basically forget how to do something, like breathe, like eat, like swallow. And that's what will happen. Something is, you know, one of those simple things that we're instinctively have, because all of a sudden we've had it. you're here, you know how to do that.
Right.
And so he basically forgot how to swallow. And so, one of his helpers called, or I called and said, how's David? And said, well, I don't think he's swallowing, because he keeps the food in his mouth. And I thought, oh, great, okay. So anyway, I think it was the next day, the Methodist Manor said, we have to put him into their, what would they call it? It wasn't assisted living, it was their long-term care, because he needs more help. I don't know if he got that much more help, but anyway, because he still had his helpers with him all the time. But anyway, basically he was just sort of there and just couldn't swallow. And, you know, you just, all of a sudden you can't take any fluids in, you don't eat. So it was basically 3 days, 4 days, I think. And then that was the end.
So they called you and said he had passed on?
I had seen him in the morning, and I'd gone up in the afternoon, and I went home to get some dinner, and one of his helpers was obviously with him, and she called and said he stopped breathing.
Yeah. Wow. Tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how old was he when he died?
83.
83.
Not really old, but.
No. And let's see, coming up this October, it'll be a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's still fresh with you, isn't it, his loss? Such a great mind and great influence on your life.
I was very lucky.
Yeah, you were, and so was he.
Yeah, I think he'd probably say that too.
But their forms of dementia, was it Alzheimer's that they finally?
No.
No?
It's so many, it's lots of variations, I guess. But they never said that he has Alzheimer's. And the only way that I guess they can actually see that is that they did an MRI, and they can look at the I guess it's the plaque on the brain, would show if there's a great deal of plaque, then you definitely have Alzheimer's.
Okay.
Yeah, is what my understanding of how
so it is. It's all, I don't know what the word to say, it's just awful.
Yeah, the whole, yeah, what, it's a horrible thing to kind of watch.
Whatever form of dementia.
Yeah, yeah. Because you just, you have this person that you love and you know how they should be and they're not. And it was funny, I always thought, David was never going to retire. And I always thought, well, he's going to go to the office one day. He's just going to die because that's what he does.
Right.
So this would never enter anybody's mind that this is what you're going to face in life. And I don't know if it's a hereditary thing. I don't think it is, but it might be a little bit. I don't know. But there wasn't anybody in David's family that I could think of that had that. You know, but yeah. Just weird. Just a horrible thing to have to to watch, I think, especially just somebody who was just fun and vibrant and a great talent. Just watch them just lose all that. Just it's all gone. I mean, it's funny. He would sit here and he'd say, well, this is a pretty house. Whose is it? And I go, well, it's our house. And then he'd say sometimes, well, this is, who owns this house? You know, he knew where he was, sort of, but he didn't, you know.
How did you, because there'll be people listening who are going through what mm-hmm. you did, how did you handle all that? It had to be frustrating at times.
Oh, and- yeah. I was kind of lucky that I were able to have during the day, I had somebody kind of with David. Got a really nice man, John, to be with him from like 9 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, which was a big help just that I didn't have to answer all of his questions. And John would go for a walk with him and John would just kind of there to help. The nights were hard because David they don't really understand time, I think, after a while. So he was just sort of impatient. You know, if we were just sitting here and we were going to go to dinner, if it was 5 o'clock and we weren't going to go to 6:30, from 5 to 6:30, he would ask every 5 minutes, when are we going to go? And I'd have to say, well, not yet, but we're going to go. And so you try to answer the question and you try to keep your voice as calm and as level as it can be. And the best thing to do is answer the question and kind of turn and walk away for a little bit. And then you come back and you do it again, and you just do it again. And you have to be I guess I have a lot of patience, and I was just like, you know, take a deep breath and, you know, so he was what he was, and I couldn't, you just kind of have to do it every day. And I think you'll find yourself, I mean, my therapist was kind of like, when do you think you cannot take care of David? Because I never thought I'd have to put him in like an assisted living. And the only thing that made that work was because he had a fall and he had an operation. And it made sense to progress him into that. Because if I had told him, I'm going to move you to an assisted, that would have never worked. So I was fortunate that that all worked that way. But it's very hard to figure out what's your limit of what you can physically do or mentally take care of somebody. And I realized when he became incontinent, both ways, I thought, I can't do that. I don't think I thought if he knew I was doing this, he'd be so embarrassed.
Yeah.
And how he let ladies help him, I don't know what he did. You know, and you just think, I guess everybody has a point where they think, I can't do that. And if you're fortunate enough to have help, please take the help. And then you can be there to be supportive as best you can. But you just wear yourself down. I remember Sean, who works for us, said after David was finally, you know, where he was in assisted living, he said, you don't look as exhausted as you used to. Because it was just every day. And he would get up in the middle of the night. So you never really slept. You slept, but all of a sudden he was up, and then he didn't know where the bathroom was.
Yeah.
So you have to, you know, get a flashlight and turn on the light and show him where it was. Or he'd be in the closet getting dressed, and it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and you'd go, no, it's not time to get dressed. We have to go back to bed. So, you know, so you just, I was, you know, you really have to be as calm and as you possibly can be. Yeah. And I just, plus I'm not a yeller, and David was never a yeller. So I just, you know, I thought, well, that wouldn't do anything, you know, you can't. you know. And you just have to, with anybody like that, you just answer their question, but you don't argue. You can't say that's not the way it is. You just say, oh no, maybe you're right. You know, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, we'll do it that way. You know, but you never argue. Well,
not everybody can do what you did. Well, I mean, we're all built differently.
Yeah. If you can afford to talk to somebody, go talk to somebody. You need a third person that's not involved, that can help you and give you advice and say, no, you're not crazy.
And you can, you're frustrated.
Yeah.
But you can be frustrated through that third person.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can cry in front of the other person and just all kinds of things. I guess you don't want to burden your friends either.
Yeah.
And I know at some point when I first realized David was getting bad in New York, I remember, going to dinner with one of my best friends, Claire Potter, and I would just, I'd tell her things and just cry.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I thought, oh, I felt guilty.
Yeah. And you felt guilty.
Well, somebody has to sit there and
watch
you cry, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Anyway.
He was so fortunate to have your temperament, I guess, I'm going to say. If you're a hothead yourself, never worked.
I feel so sorry for anybody that has to go through this and can't navigate it somehow.
Right.
Because it's not anything that's easy to navigate. And you don't ever know how it's going to go. You just have to, I remember one day we were down at the office and it was early in the morning, like 7 or 6:30 or something. I said, I'm just going to go home real quick. I'll be right back. I came back. I couldn't have been gone 15 minutes. And he wasn't in the office. And he was somewhere. And this was 6:30 in the morning. And I thought, oh, my God. So I got in the car and I started driving around where our office was. And I thought, where would he go? And I just happened to go across Peoria. And he liked to walk over where the church was, I think it's a Methodist church.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some flowers there, and he would like to go over there and pick them, and thought, well, maybe he went over there, and he wasn't there, and I came back onto Peoria, and there he was. All of a sudden he was crossing Peoria, and somebody was helping him walk across Peoria.
Mm.
And he was walking over to, there's a gym right there, right next to the Brook Theater, and somebody was walking, so they walked him over there, and I parked the car and went in and got him. He said, oh, there you are. And I said, yeah, okay, well, are you okay? He said, yeah, I'm fine, I was looking for you. I said, oh, okay, well, you found me, so let's go back. Anyway. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I mean, you have moments like that. And even here, he wanted to walk Lola, our dog. And he would all of a sudden go out the back here and he wouldn't come back and he wouldn't come back. So I would get in the car and go look for him. And then all of a sudden he'd show up. And then a couple times he would left Lola someplace. So we'd have to go look for her. And then so finally we put a gate on there so he couldn't get out because it was just too, I just thought, I can't do this and I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This can't and be. You had to be tired a lot because you wouldn't get a good night's rest, would
no,
you?
No. No. So
that made you.
Yeah. You just get kind of worn down and you just,
So the last, what you've just described, was that the last 6 months of his life or was it the last?
Well, he was in Methodist Manor from January to October. And it was probably the whole year before that. It was when he was probably the worst and probably not horrible to live with. We just had to figure out, how am I going to navigate this?
Yeah.
You know, with him getting up in the middle of the night, and we tried sleeping pills and we tried different sleeping pills and had to go to a psychiatrist for that because the ones that Dr. Gowie could recommend weren't strong enough. And then, so then you get those and those probably didn't work, and it was just like, oh God, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he'd be fine because if he didn't sleep, we'd go to the office and then all of a sudden he'd be sitting in his chair and he'd fall sound asleep. And he never complained. I was lucky and he was never frustrated. He never said, I don't remember and I don't understand. And he never got angry about it. He just never did, which was, for me, so thankful because I never had to deal with that too.
Yeah.
So, a lot of people have that when they get angry, and he was never angry.